I guess I'll go ahead and call. I'll call the meeting to order at 6:03 on June 9th. And Mara, can you call the roll to determine a quorum?
I can. Cheryl?
Yes.
Sarah?
Here.
Katie?
Here.
Meg Lister?
Here.
Jay Lister?
Hopefully on his way or on to log in. So we do have four present, so we've got a quorum. Why don't we go ahead and stand? I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Okay, I'll make a motion to approve the agenda for June 9th. Have a second, unless we have anything we want to add or change.
I'll second.
Okay, motion's been made and seconded by Meg. Mara, please call the roll.
Cheryl?
Yes.
Sarah Holmgren?
Yes.
Katie Holmland?
Yes.
Meg Lister?
Yes.
Okay, motion passes 4-0. Next, do we have, oh, I can't. Are we on to correspondence already? I'm so used to being able to look at the whole thing, sorry. Any correspondence, Mara? Sorry.
We do not have any correspondence.
Okay. Next, we'll have comments from an audience, from the audience unrelated to the agenda items, which I don't know if we have any audience besides.
We don't have anyone outside of school district people online right now, or besides Petersburg Pilot and KFSK.
Okay. Comments from, then we don't have anything related to the agenda items. Comments from board members. The only thing I wanted to mention was I thought graduation went really well. And I've heard lots of great compliments and comments about the parade and how, and even from some of the senior parents about how much it made them feel special, despite all the frustration with not being able to do it in a traditional sense. And I just wanted to kind of thank the community as well as all the hard work for the staff and administrative staff putting that together, kind of going outside our way outside our norm. Okay, any other comments or moving on? We'll go to the consent agenda. I'll make a motion to approve the consent agenda, which includes May 2020 bills and monthly accounting reports, payroll, electronic fund transfers, ASB trial balance, and PCAR statements in the amount of $862,664.67, as well as our regular board meeting regular board meeting minutes from May 12th. Can I have a second?
I'll second.
Okay, motion's been made and seconded by Katie Holmland. Mara, please call the roll.
Sarah Holmgren?
Yes.
Katie Holmland?
Yes.
Meg Lister?
Yes.
Cheryl File.
Yes.
Okay, motion passes 4-0. Moving on to administrative reports, we'll start with Superintendent Clint Painter.
Hey, just to give an update, we have several things coming up on the agenda that are clearly on everybody's minds, just thinking about really looking at next school year, but I will just kind of give a quick rundown of things that have been going on in my world. Lately, I'm still attending and part of the emergency operations committee in the community. I attend those meetings twice a week. I also participate in the medical center briefings. Those are three times a week, which is helpful, especially as the medical guidance is coming out related to what we can and can't do moving forward. We are working through the CARES Act funding request through the Department of Ed. Erin and I talked to you about last month, and we have move through the process in the grant management system, and we've already submitted for some reimbursement for things that we have had to purchase this spring, as we talked about last month. And then we have also made a formal request to the borough for the CARES Act funding that is available through them because they had declared a disaster and emergency this spring. So we are eligible to receive funding through the borough. So there's a resolution coming forward from on our behalf to the assembly on June 15th. So that is going to continue to support staffing that is above and beyond what is needed to prepare for the fall and just throughout the year next year, additional transportation costs, food costs, and looking at things for screening when things get underway in the fall, temperature kiosks and that sort of thing. Working through staffing processes, big kudos to Mr. Dormer and Ms. Kahn for continuing to work through that process. Hiring our staff, we have a new special ed teacher to present to you later in the agenda that Mr. Dormer can talk to you more about for the middle school. So we're excited about that. At this point, we are a little bit on hold with SWIM position, mostly due to we have not really had applicants for that position. So a little bit on hold because we don't know what things will look like with the pool and all of that next year too. So we'll work through it, but we're not yet. A couple of grants. I talked to him about this a little bit today at noon, but I'll just mention it again that we are participating in that have come up that started a couple of years ago through Sea Alaska Heritage Institute and CERC related to cultural proficiency and some unique opportunities for our elementary teachers and also for our principals. So we're looking forward to those opportunities coming up in the fall. I'm also working through federal grants with Karen, and Ms. Kahn gets to jump in and join the Migrant Title I Fund with the grant writing process, as well as implementing a lot of it is in the elementary school with our school-wide program. So we appreciate her help in that. And several of us in the district are participating in the Smart Start series that's being put on. There's several hundred people that are getting online to work through that process twice a week for about 6 weeks. I think we have 6 weeks of sessions. And it's been pretty helpful. Lots of really good speakers working on helping us talk through, you know, scenario planning and how to work with your community on trying to move forward with plans for next year and beyond. So that's been good. We have several teachers that are taking it. I'm doing it, Mr. Dormer, Mr. Cabral, Ms. Kahn, Ms. Whitstock. Yeah, a really pretty good crew of people. Many of those people are donating their time at this point. So it's a very, very good training. So that's what's going on in my world.
Okay. Thank you. Anybody have any questions? Okay. Seeing none, we'll move on to the elementary principal's report. Mrs. Kahn.
Hello. Well, we did it. We made it. We got to the end of the school year officially, and we are into summer break. So we, during COVID, not only did our teachers instruct and meet with their students, but they all received training, some professional development. So thank you, the Sixth Streets Writing and Bridges Math. We'll be doing a refresher in the fall, but this was major for our PD in the spring. It was something that was missing in our school and hadn't done for several years. So it was really nice to get those trainings in. Our online instruction ended on May 22nd. May 26th was a big day. It was coordinating with a device drop-off at all meal locations, as well as handing out students their PE, their virtual PE, field day. And so the 1801 grant really helped to fund. Every kid got a goodie bag of virtual stuff that they could do for their field day, as well as a card. We also dropped off, we had to do some sort of instruction on the 27th, 28th. So we did a scavenger hunt, a K-5 scavenger hunt, which was a lot of fun. I got a lot of pictures in there. Kids were jumping in muskeg holes. I love jumping in muskeg holes. So that was the one picture that I remember, but it was a really good experience. I think it brought a lot of fun and laughter to the end of the school year, and parents really had a good time participating and sending in those photos. So it's something they could do that was fun with their kids. We started summer school. We're on our way in session one. This is week two. We are also supporting the public library, the reading program this summer with session one. Session two, we just are, I believe that's on your agenda. So we are going to meet tomorrow and we're going to discuss hours. It's going to start July 27th. It will end August 14th. There'll be busing, which we're pretty excited about. Thank you with that COVID money. And we are going to start planning tomorrow. We've also been in contact with the preschools and the childcare facilities to see what our need is now and might be next fall. So we've been working on trying to get them the space that's needed. We, I know that the Children's Center right now, Eagle's Nest, there is, we do need a facility. So just an encouraging shout out that if there is facilities out there that are willing to house, that is going to be a need, and it will be sure to keep 30 kids safe and with some quality services. We're working on a survey series, and I believe Erica will talk a little bit more about that, as well as getting some stakeholders out there so that we can plan. I know that the elementary school is very worrisome to families, and so we just want to make sure that we can get that out as soon as possible. And I think that's it.
Great, thank you very much. Any questions? Okay, if not, moving on to principal's report for middle school, high school, Mr. Dormer.
I think you're on mute, Rick. You're on mute. Can he hear? He can't hear me.
Rick, you're on mute. Can you unmute yourself?
How about that? Can you hear me there? Is that working?
Yes.
It looked like you were really telling a lot of important stuff, though.
I was. I was starting off. No, I have a brand new camera, thanks to Mr. Painter, which is fantastic because I have my old screen almost blew up my brand new laptop. So we got that work, but apparently I have to use the mic on the camera. So thanks. No, thanks to Mrs. Holmgren for just recognizing graduation. What just an amazing event that was weeks and weeks and so many people. I really couldn't thank all of them, but you appropriately thanked again the community for really making the parade special. I mean, it was just really, really heartwarming as a parent. And that is just, you know, the principal for these 36 seniors to see so many people coming out, not just taking the time to be there to cheer, but making signs and flags and just really celebrating with the seniors and their families. So it was a really cool event. Thank you again. Big thanks again to our senior advisors, Ashley Laura and Jill Lenhardt, who just did so much work. And again, above and beyond over and over again. So many cool things, but thanks to the community for supporting that. It was really, really special for the kids. Mr. Cabral, I did meet with the fifth graders that are soon to be sixth graders. And again, we were in a, you know, weird distance delivery, but we did it. And we went into the classrooms, Mr. Sullivan and Mrs. Green, and we had a great time and got to meet some of the kids and talk with them, and they were talkative, which is good. On the camera, when a lot of kids show up, we apologize. We couldn't do the tour. We usually bring them into the Mitkoff Middle School and take them around and let them, you know, see the lockers and sit in the desks. And we promised we would be really slow in the fall when we do get to hopefully see them and what that looks like. But we want to give them time to get ready. But it was really fun. So thanks to those teachers and meeting our new Mitkoff Middle School Vikings. So that was pretty cool. You know, these senior events are great. I was really fortunate to be part of the Elks Student of the Month dinner. And again, just really, as always, an amazing group of kids have been recognized throughout the year. And thanks again to the Emblem Club and the Elks Club donating some money, Papa Bear's Pizza helping out and with the cost a little bit, and then Mr. Engel for organizing all that. So the kids were able to pick up pizza and then go home and do the video chat. So that was a neat way to do it and still chance to hear all the speeches and talk about the kids. So great event. Really appreciate, again, a lot of people coming together to make that a special event for our seniors, or for all our kids, excuse me. There's more than seniors there. So just want to also, again, recognize Ministerial Association pulling off the first ever distance delivered baccalaureate that I know of. And that was really cool. So appreciate them again, continuing to keep the senior traditions alive, despite the boundaries there and doing a distance delivery one. I really also want to give a shout out to Ms. Turner putting together a video and the scholarship night. If you were able to attend that, that was really enjoyable. those, you know, we have these donors out in the community. Mrs. Holmgren, I know, spoke for a couple of them at the beginning of the event. And not only are they recognizing seniors and they go through the applications and they really put their heart into it and they recognize these kids and they're giving them money for college. And then we said, oh, by the way, would you also make a video of yourself? Which is really hard, I think, for most people. You know, we're not all movie stars like Mr. Cabral. So it's hard to get in front of the camera. And they did it. They were awesome. They were great. I really, every single one was so cool. So I'm just so thankful because that was a nice event. And all those community members just getting on and making a video and thanking our seniors. I mean, recognizing them and seniors being able to thank them live. So really cool. And then like Ms. Kahn said, we did it. We got kids checked out. The office staff was amazing. And of course, Mr. Painter and his staff, the Mac Tech department, amazing getting out. I mean, we had way more devices than we obviously usually have. And it went very, very smoothly. So we got our stuff back in, a nice process and timely, and got the kids off. So really wishing them, of course, a safe and a great relaxing summer for our students off and going. And then finally, I've been organizing, you know, I'm the Region 5 rep on the board. I'll be meeting with secondary principals this Friday to talk about some of the ideas of what other secondary principals are doing. You know, Mrs. Kahn and Mrs. KP and I continue to meet with the admin team and talk about lots of ideas that she will get to soon. But I'm excited that just to hear. And, it, you know, I've got, you know, Juno and Ketchikan will be there and Pelicans superintendent principal will be there. So just lots of different sizes of schools, and be fun to get together and talk about what's going on. So that is what's happening from the secondary world. Any questions for me?
All right, thanks. I forgot to mention that great video that was put together of the kids graduating at Sandy Beach. And that was fun to watch. I went home after graduation and then sat down and cast it to the TV so we could all watch it. It was pretty cute. Nicely done too. Anyway.
Thank you. Yeah, that was Deborah Rogers, and he put that together. It was good. A lot of hours. Cool.
That was pretty nice. I just thought that was pretty special too, and the weather cooperated.
Yeah.
Okay. So moving on. Let's see where I'm at. My glasses again. On to facilities. Dan Tate.
So my gift, my retirement gift, or my moving on gift to Mr. Tate is that he didn't have to attend the meeting tonight. So,
Dan, you're listening out there. We sure appreciate you, and sorry to see you not come to one last meeting.
Absolutely. We do definitely want to recognize the amazing Mr. Tate and all of his work that he's done in our district, and surely do appreciate him. And he and our new maintenance and facility director, Ralph Johnson, have been very busy doing transition work here over the last couple of weeks, and we'll continue to do that. So they've been a great team so far, and just it'll be a nice smooth transition, I think, handing the reins over to Mr. Johnson, and Mr. Tate feels good about it. So that's important as well. And mostly what they're doing is just really continuing with that transition and working through those the sort of regular summer projects that are there, and finishing up the capital projects. If you haven't checked out the concrete in front of the high school, that has been a long time coming, and they were finally able to do it this spring, and it's been budgeted for several years now. So it's beautiful, it's safe, there's no bumps, which is really, really important. So that is a beautiful thing to behold there in front of the high school. And then, just as Dan says on his last note there, that it's been his pleasure to support the school district, and he leaves feeling that much has been accomplished and that he has been a part of our great organization that has been his extended family. So thank you, Dan Tate, for all your service.
Yes, thank you, Dan and Anne too, and their kids, and wish them the best in their future plans. Okay, moving on to our committee reports, which I don't know how much, if any, committee report or committees have met between May and this June, but we'll just kind of go down them just in case. Crisis, Cheryl?
Nothing to report.
Okay, curriculum, Katie?
Nothing since the last meeting.
Okay, and I didn't see if Jay was able to join us or not, but facilities, he's not here. Kind of sounds like we got a little bit of an update anyway on facilities. No legislative, we have to find someone to do legislative liaison. Can we Can we give that to Mara? As our admin? Just kidding. We'll figure that one out. Negotiations, not applicable. Myself, well, we kind of put policy on hold, but we may end up having to meet or at least bring something to the board depending on how things progress or not progress this summer. So stay tuned. Technology, Jay's not here, so we'll skip that one. And wellness, Katie, we kind of heard last
we didn't meet since the last meeting, but that take home field day kit was put on in part by, you know, Ginger Evans and that wellness committee and the grant that comes through that. So shout out there, keeping our kids.
Yeah, that was pretty fun.
Time, so yeah, it was fun.
All right. Special recognition. Yeah, I think we could probably recognize, let the community be reminded that Irene Littleton will be retiring and that there's a parade for her, a drive-by parade on June 19th, right?
I believe so. Her three children have been very busy trying to plan something special for her, knowing that it can't be quite what they were originally wanting to do. So parade is their plan, and it's, I believe it's June 19th. Anytime between 6 and 7:30, I think a similar kind of process to coming by the district office there. And I imagine she might be dressed up and wearing something. And so you should dress up and wear something too, because that's what
No. All right. Okay. Doesn't look like we have any old business. So moving on to new business, which is 14.1 on the agenda, smart start information. Superintendent Clint Painter will provide, hold on. That's all right. I just thought for the people that are listening.
Yeah, sorry about that.
No, go ahead. Smart Start is related to COVID and how we'll be hopefully, giving some guidance to how school districts are supposed to proceed. So go ahead, take it away.
Yeah, so this is something we've been talking about for a while as the Commissioner of Education and in partnership with the Department of Health and Social Services, just working through a process that they're kind of trying to mirror that same low, medium, high risk framework that is used by CDC and other organizations. And I think everybody's kind of adopting the same sort of idea. So we're speaking somewhat of the similar language, which I think is important. And you'll notice when Mr. Cabral talks about activities, they have a similar framework that they've been operating within as well. So as of last Wednesday night, Thursday morning, we did receive this guidance finally from the Department of Education and Health and Human Services. And as we were all, several of us that were on the Alaska Smart Start training this morning, it's important, I think, to remember that this is, it's guidance and it's a framework, and it's not a static document in time, that there's, you know, there's we're still learning about this virus. We're still learning about the best procedures and protocols to operate within it. And that's good news for us, because, you know, there's some things that are coming out that are a bit more hopeful than they were even a couple months ago. So I think that's good information for us. They just remind us that it's not, you know, here's the framework and then boom, everybody make your plan and you're done and you just move on. And it's not like that. And I think even though that's challenging for us, really challenging, and for families too, we know, and students. It's good news though, because that it may mean that, you know, we're able to, you know, potentially allow and open some things up in some areas that we were thinking we might not be able to. So I think it's just important to remember that as we're talking through it. Basically, and this is available for anybody that wants to see it. It's out there. It's on our site. It's on the Department of Education site. We shared it with this agenda as well. It's about 10 pages long, and basically what they've done is they've focused on providing some parameters, some health and medical parameters, some guidance for schools around conditions for learning, continuity for learning, and capacities for learning. So there's a lot of issues that we have to talk about and look, you know, think about in this realm, and we have already been doing that within this, but you know, there's sort of those immediate needs that we were dealing with when this all happened, you know, a lot of things about course health and safety, technology, providing, you know, continuing the educational model, even though it was, you know, challenging and went from, you know, all on-site to basically, you know, all virtual, which was a huge undertaking. So the benefit we have now is we do have some time to think about how we can, you know, provide opportunities for our kids in the fall and throughout the next year and beyond, that are still, you know, robust and engaging for kids. We know it's not going to look exactly like it has, and we're going to do our best to provide options and opportunities for families within the guidance, that keeps people safe. Also knowing that, as I said earlier, we have the gamut of people, people who are on the end of the spectrum where they think, we should just, you know, open everything wide up and go, and that's the way it should be. And all the way, to the other, you know, side of the spectrum of, you know, basically even with any sort of protocols we have in place, there are people who still do not feel comfortable. So it's a wide range of needs out there, individual needs, family needs, educational needs, health needs. So it's a complex problem, and we are going to need lots of voices to help work our way through it. And I guess what I want to say before we go too much further into it is just to really remind everybody that no one wants normal more than we do. This is a lot of work. It is not this was not where we thought we would be this spring or summer. So I would just ask for patience and understanding and acknowledging that there are lots of strong feelings and ideas about all of this, and some pretty high emotions as well. So, and we understand that it's change, it's different, it's not what we really want or expect. So I think just acknowledging that and knowing that we're all going to need to come up with some creative ideas together, and also allow for some flexibility and options within whatever plan we ultimately determine. So I think Heather mentioned earlier, we know a huge issue thinking about just the educational system in general is childcare. And that was a huge issue for families this spring when everything just dropped and stopped and boom, here you are. That was a big lift for families. So we really are committed to trying to work through that with a larger group of people. We can't solve that alone. So we know that's a big concern. So we want to work through that with the community. And we also want to work through, you know, varying ways of providing education that is not all virtual, most likely not all on site, and allowing for different options for families that will work best for them. Basically where this will go, and the idea behind it is in the simplest terms, high risk, medium risk, low risk is designed and determined by our community. So there are different needs and different factors. Some places have no healthcare. We do have healthcare, but we're also an island and we're fairly remote. So we have some logistics there. There are communities that have a lot of extended family that live together. So they're dealing with some different sorts of challenges that maybe we aren't dealing with as much. So there's transportation issues. There's a lot of different factors. There's people, you know, transient populations, there's work populations. We're dealing with it right now in our community, and we don't know what it's going to look like throughout the summer. We're all doing our best to follow all the rules and make this all work. High risk would be that there's widespread community transmission. We are clearly not in that zone, and that is outstanding. Medium would be some community transmission, meaning low to moderate, and low risk being no community transmission or within the last 14 days. So the idea behind this is theoretically you could move between kind of these levels. You know, we hope we never have a case of a student or a staff member, that would probably move us into more of a high risk. And so, you know, how would you kind of rapidly switch between these levels and provide education with continuity for the children? So it's a big task. We are going to need more voices than the 8 or 10 of us that are sitting on this phone call. right now. So I won't sit and read through these. Mainly what, for those of you out there just wanting to look through it, the guidance is there. You can read through how they've created the parameters. And a lot of it has to do with, you know, distance, space between people, thinking a lot about hygiene and cleaning protocols, and we're all about that. I think that's really important. There's some guidance around masking and what that might look like, and also exceptions to that and what that also might look like. Again, showing kindness and compassion throughout all of this. There's some guidance in here talking about activities, which I'll let Jamie talk a little bit more about next, but some pretty significant protocols there as well. And then just really looking at ways that we can accommodate families and their specific needs. You know, so we have students who have very significant needs, and sometimes some of them and some families actually found that there were some things about this distance delivery that actually worked really well for them. And so that's also something we want to find out from people, because if there are ways that this might be a mode of instruction that works better for some families or some kids, we also want to allow that as an option for people. So it wasn't successful for everyone. It wasn't perfect, but there were some families and some kids that were actually quite successful within it. So that's another piece. Is that me? It's like it's reverberating. Somebody must have had their radio on. Okay, is it stopped? I don't need to listen. Is that all right?
Yep. Okay. No, sorry. I got distracted, and then looks like Jay was trying to get in the meeting.
Oh, sorry about that. Did Jay get on?
I'm on. I'm here.
Okay. Oh, yay. Great. Okay.
Okay. Great.
Excellent. And then I guess we'll just recognize that Jay has joined us at 6:35.
Thank you so much for that. And then just a lot of it, a big part of this too is working with our own local health officials, which I do think is important, because that does allow us to have some flexibility within our own community for how things should work moving forward for us. So I think that's important, and we do have a good group of people in our local community who are very dedicated to providing that guidance. So I feel pretty fortunate that we have some great support people in place to help us with it, because I clearly am not a medical professional. I'm learning way more about this than I ever thought that I would, and talking about mitigation plans rather than education plans. But that is where we are. So maybe I'll stop there and just see if anybody has any thoughts or questions about that, or I don't want to sit and read it all. There's a lot of details within it that people can read on their own about, you know, risk categories for different staff members, adults, children, a lot of medical guidance and protocols. So I don't know if there's any other thoughts or comments that, Sarah, you might want to.
I didn't know if, as a community, mm-hmm. I know that maybe Heather, I'm trying to think, I saw your post on Facebook, but obviously some of our listening community isn't on Facebook. There was a survey going around, kind of like what worked, what didn't work. But that survey was from a parent teacher organization up, I'm presuming up north. It was not ours. It was PTA somewhere in Alaska, and that how to funnel some of these ideas or feedback to make it easier for planning purposes as it relates to this. So as the community reads this and sees what the expectations are from the state, as you know, as we go back and forth, what ideas maybe that we haven't thought of, or that, you know, someone has come up with that nobody else has thought of, how do we funnel that information so that that idea can be utilized relation to this? I just would encourage the community, instead of maybe shouting out all these different ideas, is to read this. These are the parameters that we're going to have to work under. So if you've got some great ideas, how do we get that to it without it just being, you know, 500 emails?
Right.
Well, I don't know what that, I don't, maybe I'm off on a different thought.
No, it's a great thought, and we have definitely been, we're working on a survey right now, the first of several, and Heather had originally started it, because we were really talking a lot about this childcare issue. We're really trying to get a handle on the need within the community and also what we can do to help support that, because if we do end up with, you know, a somewhat reduced or modified schedule, we know that's going to be an issue for families. So and as Heather said at the very beginning, that's been something she's been hearing a lot, of course, you know, at the elementary level. So we had already started that. Then she and I both, or several of us, saw that PTA survey online. And so we were like, oh, there's a couple questions we want to add. Actually, we stole them and we're going to add them to our own survey. And I'll say that publicly, but so we're going to put those on there. And then we are wanting to put together a stakeholder group, a representative group of people in the community. I don't necessarily know it's not always productive to have, you know, 400 people in a room, but having a good cross-section of people who can come together, you know, parents of kids of various ages, childcare providers, maybe some people from the medical community. I know there's been some interest from the borough, because I know they're also trying to figure out ways to support nonprofits in childcare as well. So shout out to them and kudos for the work that they're trying to do on that as well, because it is a community topic. And just wanting to put together a good group. So surveys, when they come out, we will email them, we'll put them on the website, we'll ask, you know, Joe to put them on KFSK, put them in the paper or whatever. We'll get the word out, and then we're going to work through that process of putting together a group of people to help us work through these different scenarios and come up with, you know, let's identify the specific questions, the issues, the what ifs of the world. There are lots of them. We don't have all the answers, but we're going to do our best to come up with them, you know, with input and guidance and feedback from people who live here and care about it the most with their kids. So there'll be surveys, there'll be a stakeholder group put together, and lots of opportunities for feedback. As we start to pull things together and put them out there, we'll be asking for that feedback, whether it's again through surveys or Google Docs, or, you know, we'll come up with a way to funnel that feedback, because we know there's lots of ideas out there and questions and concerns. So okay. Yeah.
Good. And I guess as a board, if anybody feels led or strongly about maybe helping on that group, maybe just a couple of us, so we don't have to worry about quorum issues, and, you know, it can just be our, you know, our board representation, or, you know, just on there. So, okay. Anything else?
Real quick.
Go ahead.
I have a question. I know there's so many unknowns, so I feel silly asking, but as a co-director of a childcare facility and wanting to form our fall plan to best complement whatever the school district does, mm-hmm. and best able to serve the community and their needs, do we have a timeline or an ideal? I know there's so many unknowns, so it's a silly question in some ways, but it would be nice to have time to think of a way where we can not be overstepping each other, mm-hmm. and being able to make sure that kids are in quality programs if families want that service.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Katie, I think you'd be a great, I think you're in a lot of these meetings with us already, so maybe you want to be one of the board members on this stakeholder group. I think that would be awesome, because we do know what you mean, and I wish I could say that we'd have a plan by even next week. That will not happen, but I think clearly the goal is as soon as we can, right? Because we also need teachers to have an opportunity to prepare. So, because they're going to be asked to do a number of different things, because in offering options to families, whether it's options through the virtual academy, which could allow families to enroll in specific courses if they wanted to, but they can enroll through those courses through our district. So you're still a part of the Petersburg School District, which I think is a great opportunity. So, you know, that's some of the conversations we need to have. We also know there's going to be some times where people will not be able to be in school. So, you know, what do those options look like? Our teachers are going to need time to prepare for those varying scenarios. So we want the answers as soon as you do, Katie, and as soon as all of our parents do out there, I know, as well. So just know that we are continuing to move forward. We're in meetings, multiple meetings, you know, learning more each and every day. We just had a great session with Dr. Zink and Dr. McLaughlin last week. It was super interesting. Great scientific research that's going on about this virus, and some encouraging news that they, you know, shared with us that they're researching about how kids truly are impacted by this virus and whether they're asymptomatic or whether they're not getting it at the same rates due to their receptors not being accepting the virus. So that's great news for all of us, but they're still researching that. So things really are changing daily and weekly, but just know we're committed. I'm hoping to get that survey out this week. And I would suggest that we're probably going to try to put together that, start some meetings with stakeholders, I would say, you know, in the next week or so. So we're going to keep trudging forward. We're going to do it.
Thanks, Erica. I know you guys are all working your buns off trying to figure out plans. So I do appreciate that.
Yeah. And we want you guys to be at that table. That's why, you know, really reaching out on that. So your other childcare hat, preschool hat. So we'd love to have your voice on there.
I do have a question. Maybe I missed it in this document, or they didn't even address it because this looked more like it was health. But has the Department of Education considered what the school year, 180 days, could look like? Like, are they allowing that kind of flexibility?
Yes, that's a great question.
I know they did. They were forced to, you know, this spring just by reality. But I thought as we go into planning or playing out scenarios.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. The way Commissioner Johnson talked about it this morning, and Mr. Dormer and Ms. Kahn can jump in, or Mr. Cabral, there were various people on that call this morning, but what he is saying is they are going to allow maximum flexibility. They want the plan. They want to know the what if, you know, if this happens, then we'll do this. If this happens, then we'll do this. And if they can see that type of planning, they're going to be very willing to work within that. So, for example, I asked the question this morning if we would have some flexibility with the number of in-service days, because again, we're going to have to, our teachers are going to need time to do this work. And so he said, you know, again, if it was worked in and very specifically designated, you know, within that plan, he said, we will certainly, you know, highly consider that. So I think there's more yeses than nos on that, as long as it's part of your overall plan. That's what I heard him say today. So, yeah.
All right. Does anybody have any further questions or comments? Okay. Then we'll move on to 14.2, Alaska School Association, Alaska School Activities Association update. Director of Activities, Jamie Cabral. He'll update us on the discussion of the parameters and safety protocols for activities in the coming school year.
Good evening. Yes, lots. Just to let you know, we're going to have our first ferry on July 5th. And I think we're pretty excited about having a ferry back in Southeast, hopefully. But that is good news for Alaska Marine Highway, getting the ferry system rolling through Southeast. But we've been meeting weekly, going over a lot of our mitigation plans for what activities would look like throughout the region, and getting some guidance from the state as well as ASAA. So we've got a lot of things on there. Petersburg High School, Minkoff Middle School, we are right now looking at a possibility of starting outdoor activities with our coaches July 13th. And the whole reason July 13th was selected is the later date in order to see how opening of the community goes and not kind of jumping in it too quickly. There are some other districts who are not doing anything right now. There are some districts that have already started some of their open gyms a week ago. And following our lovely 17-page mitigation plan under our yellow or our medium level of safety protocols. And we have put together this giant document that Mara's clicking, or Erica's clicking on it. This is our recommendations from the region that is going through every school in Southeast Alaska. And so it is It is aligned with the state of Alaska guidelines, as well as CDC recommendations and ASAA. So we have put together kind of your preparation requirements, signage in the building, your coaches need to be trained if you're going to do it, what the screening process is going to look like, risk warnings to parents. It is a lot of backup work prior to even getting to where students start showing up to do some type of workout. So if you ever want to have this link and read it all, you may at any point, but it goes through everything as far as participants, spectators, health screening, knowing what your signage is in your facilities or where you're going to be, what the minimum temperatures are when you're screening. And we actually just worked on, which is not in this attachment, but we just worked on a screening algorithm that they are working on through ASAA that we developed one. So they actually met this afternoon to talk about the screening algorithms for the Sports Medicine Advisory Committee. But this is our yellow plan, and it's very detailed and about, I think, good 13 pages long. And our green is actually even more detailed. It seemed like our yellow was detailed, but our green is even more at the low because of how many more precautions you're putting in at the low level. So we actually developed a COVID Region 5 committee, and we've been meeting once a week to kind of battle this and put some things together within our communities from all different levels. We've got a representative from every classification in the region, as well as a representative from ASA on our committee. So this is our green one, and if you ever want to read this, it's super fun. And I've actually a lot of detail-oriented things in there to keep all of our students and our coaches and volunteers safe too. So this is something we're going to be using, I think, for a while. If we ever start on that date, we will, even though we might be in the green as a community, our activities will start in the yellow in order for our coaches to know what it's like to be in the yellow, just in case we float back there. So we may evolve into green later on down the road, but if we ever have to go back to yellow, we know what, the coaches will know what to do. The kids will know the protocols. And if we're ever in red, that means we're completely shutting down if we're ever in the red zone of any of these mitigation plans. So with all of that information, we actually put it down into a really easy to read grid for our coaches. And that's the quick reference guide, because we're going to have all of our coaches go through a training, COVID-19 awareness training that we got from OSHA. And so this is our little quick plan that all the coaches will have. And our advisors. So this one goes into a little bit more detail of some of the points of emphasis that we're going to have, and then what's going to happen in specific areas for single team sessions, multi-team sessions, what you can do within those time frames of those sessions. So if you can see the red, everything is done, shut down. Our medium has a lot more limitations, and our green has a little bit more flexibility for all of our activities. So lots of documentation, lots of information for coaches and parents to read. Right now, our biggest question as we have got through our mitigation plans is what's going to happen with travel and housing in Region 5, because we are very unique compared to the road system, where it's not as easy to go and participate in a game one night, and as soon as the game's over, turn around and head back home. So we are developing plans for that as a region right now and getting some questionnaires and some surveys out to every single school district. Our OSHA campus training course, I actually went through the completion of the certificate for OSHA campus, and it's a little quick 15-minute course on COVID-19 awareness, and you get a certificate of approval after you finish the course. So all of our coaches will go through that training, and there's a post-test that you have to pass in order to get the certificate. So all of our coaches will go through that piece just on recognition of it. And then we also created a waiver for our students. So that's kind of our deal. Our indoor activities, we're not really looking at starting anytime soon. Couple of things. The reason for that is cleaning. Our staff is busy doing summer work and construction within the buildings and cleaning those facilities to meet our standards. We don't have the capacity to do that if we went indoors. And so also we don't have a facility open right now to do anything indoors. So those are the two reasons why we kind of pushed our indoor activity to maybe August 1 to looking at even starting and talking about any indoor activities. What you're going to see when we hopefully open up full strength in the fall is that we have got some signage that we're going to be putting up within the school district. And you're going to see these little 12 by 18 PVC things posted up around the school about making sure to keep your distance, stay healthy. So some reminders about how to stay safe within our building. And those little circle stickers we're going to be putting on in the cafeteria if we ever use the cafeteria and find out a way to flow through. So there can be little reminders all over the place for our students and our and anyone else that's in the building. So we're going to have all these little signage posts, which is one of the recommendations and almost requirements for getting back in the building. So we're going to have some at Stedman and some at the high school, middle school. So you'll see some little reminders here and there all around. So that is the major update of activities. And if you'd ever want some reading material, please let me know. Be happy to share with you all of them.
What indoor activities do we have that normally start in August besides swimming?
Yeah, swimming, August 5th is their scheduled start date. Okay. And sometimes cross country will come indoor to do their cool down activities. So right now cross country is slated to begin July 29th and swimming August 5th. Middle school cross country were scheduled August 19th and high school volleyball September 11th. So we've got some things coming up. We're slated to start as normal, but if things change, and they probably will, we're kind of getting ready to plan our backups of what schedules may look like and all of that. So all of our activities will start in the yellow though, as far as practices. And when we get to that point, we will start in the yellow for sure. Just to be on the safe side and make sure we hit our limitations on our numbers of gatherings as well.
Okay.
So, and ASAA is working on verbiage for competitions right now. They're meeting twice a week. And they're working alongside with us as well as some of the boarding schools on what all of their mitigation plans will look like.
And Jamie, all these that you did reference, these are included. They're posted on the agenda and on the website and such. So perfect. All links awesome. Are included within that. So if people want to review, you know, any of those or just look through, there is a lot of work that's been put in there. And
a lot.
Trying to navigate all that and figure out the best way to do it and get some of those processes and procedures in place and sort it out. So
yeah, definitely not moving too fast, but moving smart enough to where we can get kids active again.
Yeah.
Okay.
But yeah, questions.
Okay. Yeah.
Awesome.
Thanks,
there
Jamie.
Aren't any other questions. Thank you, Jamie, for that. And we'll move on to the next item on the agenda, which is the Indian Education Grant requires an annual public hearing, allowing an opportunity for the community to provide feedback about the activities offered through the grant. And I don't know if we even have anybody else on besides our crew and the media, but we'll still go ahead and go through the process of go ahead, Mr. Cabral, you can take it away.
So our Ping group, our Indian education group of students, they came up with the name the first year that we started our travel and our cultural and historical events with our students. And Ping is the name of our group. You probably saw some of their shirts running around. We finally got some gear for them, and it's our Petersburg Indigenous Native group, because we had so many, not just Native Alaskan, but Native American students. So we wanted to find a good way to integrate all of our Indigenous people in that one. So that's where Ping came from. And some of the things we did this year, we actually stayed this year and did not do a trip because we were helping plan with the local Elizabeth Bradovich Day celebration that happened here. And it was fantastic. I don't think we got to report on what we did there, but we had a couple of our students speak in front of all the people that were there. And if you were able to attend, it was a wonderful gathering. And then we had Nick Hansen, the Alaska Ninja Warrior, came down. We helped out with a couple things there. And Erica's going to click on this little shared document. You don't have to play it. We can go through the little pictures. It's a little slideshow that we put together with some of the pictures of our kids. And if you remember past events of how many people showed up for the Elizabeth Bradovich Day celebration. It wasn't as large. This year was huge. We ended up losing space in the A&B A&S hall where it was packed, where it's standing room only. We had a group of native dancers come over from Wrangell, and a lot of our students got the three of our students got to speak in front of the entire cohort of people and read letters from Elizabeth Bradovich during the Alaska Anti-Discrimination Act passing. So you can see some of our kids there, and got a couple pictures of our kids with Nick, as long as he didn't have a GCI shirt on though. And there's Mrs. KP after our lovely night. If you can see in the background, that's our warp wall that we got to do. And some of our kids stayed afterwards and actually got up to the top. We finally had some kids make it to the top, which was pretty cool. And it was a fun time with Nick. Mrs. KP was there. We got to build the warp wall. Our students did amazing while we were there building the warp wall too, all together.
Awesome.
And that is the walk all the way up to A&B A&S Hall. And we actually did it twice. So we went early. We were supposed to start at 3:30. We kind of left at about 3:10. And we had some other elders that finally made it while we were passing by. So we said, let's redo it, and walked all the way back down to TU and redid the parade one more time. So, and that is the coin that is going to be coming out with Elizabeth Bradovich on, which is pretty darn cool to be on some United States currency. What was going to happen too, towards the end of the school year, we were going to bring over the previous Indian Ed person from Mount Edgecombe, which our kids knew very well, to make cuss bucks. And that got shut down with COVID-19. So that did not happen this year. And she was going to come over and teach the kids how to make honey and do some other things around our area of what we can find throughout Petersburg. And then there's a little slideshow of what we did last year, which we plan on doing next year. And our schedule is pretty busy when we're on these trips, because we are doing as much as we can for the kids so they can get the full cultural effect. And we kind of went backwards one year, but this was our trip last year where we got to go to the Sea Alaska house there. We got to see some dancing going on, and we team up with Mount Edgecombe for their Founders Day celebration and Celebration of Cultures Week. Our plane was a little tardy getting into Sitka that night, so we ended up missing some of the arts and crafts of making some gut bags and everything else. You can skip that one. It was 4 days, 11 humans, 6 plane segments, and all that fun jazz, and we just run them ragged because we're hopping from here to there. And we were senior heavy with this group, and so we did a lot of tours with UAS Sitka, UAS Juneau, as well as Sea Alaska, so they could learn about what kind of scholarships they have for their for being native, which was really cool. And a lot of them took advantage of that the last 2 years. So we are planning the trip next year, because our original crew, there is only 2 left from our original 2 that went, and a lot of them have graduated and moved on. So we're planning on doing the same trip next year and teaming up with Mount Edgecombe again, as they have always welcomed us there, which is a blessing to have Mount Edgecombe have us over there. But you can see some of our old graduates there at UAS. A lot of them enjoyed that trip very much. Sheldon Jackson Museum, if you've never been there, you need to. It's really cool. One of the largest collections of native artifacts. There is Brother George. That is us in the Clan House at Sea Alaska. If you've ever been into Sea Alaska and seen the Clan House, it is amazing. I think there's over 1 million little chips of the way they built the wood in there, and it just smells amazing. And that was also during the halibut hook science piece that they did at the Sea Alaska Museum. And that is right up George's alley. So he was super happy about that. Yeah, it was really good. And I think Sea Alaska also came out with some apps that we talked about last time that the teachers actually used on their computers. Cool stuff. And then this was us at the Tlingit Haida in Juneau. And we got invited to dance with them too. So